want to do well, I want PvE. I want the opportunity to play by myself, to play against, you know, predetermined characters that are out there running around doing their thing, and I can go kill them. Because it's a stress release, and it makes me feel better, which is why I play Destiny. And Assassin's Creed. So I think that bringing Ubisoft and Activision back into the Star Wars, or into the Star Wars fold, and coming out with new games would be really great. Maybe we could even get an RPG like KOTOR one.
We don't do a lot of first person shooters in my household, just because, I mean, I had the last Battlefront and it was okay, but I'm with Corey, like, I don't necessarily enjoy playing with other people, so things that have a little more of a driven story with goals and outcomes, and I don't feel like, oh, well, I just kind of just didn't play through, like, I just played a level and that's great and just have to keep doing it over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see a Star Wars game that was just, like, fleshed out and robust, like Final Fantasy or an Assassin's Creed. I just think that'd be incredible.
I really want them to bring back 13-13. Totally wishful thinking.
I don't know. Still one of those people that I was never really on board with where they were going with a lot of the stuff. Like, I mean, I like the idea of having, like, a scummy Star Wars. Like, I love that concept that they were going with. But I don't know. Like, I do really hope that they are able to pull that off and get us more of those single player games back. Like, a lot of the games on that Activision list I played to death. Like, I loved the Jedi Knight series, especially Academy and Jedi Outcast 2. Like, those were awesome.
Yes.
Bounty Hunter and Republic Commando, those my jams. I loved those.
People have been crying for a Republic Commando sequel since it came out.
I think we still have that for the Xbox, even though we don't have one. I mean, it's backwards compatible with the Xbox 360, so we could play on that, but, you know, I mean, it's that old. I mean, how long has it been since they released the Xbox itself?
It's
a couple years.
Had it been at least 2004, 2003?
Now I gotta look. Internet, tell me. Xbox. Star Wars Bounty Hunter. First released. Oh, wow. Yeah. No, we're all about to feel real old. Originally released.
Was it like
not that old? Not that old, but originally released for the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube, November 19th, 2002.
Yeah.
It was over a decade ago.
I actually bought a GameCube specifically to play some Disney racing game, and when Ken and I got married, which was long after the GameCube had already died, he was so excited that I had one, because he went out and bought Bounty Hunter so that he could play on there.
Yeah.
I actually have Star Wars Rogue Leader and Jedi Outcast 2 for GameCube sitting on my shelf right over there.
I think my GameCube
right
is long gone in one of our many moves.
Yeah. You find one, though. They'll still run. They're... Those things were
built to last forever. We bought the GameCube for Bounty Hunter. I bought the Dreamcast for the Disney game.
Oh, the Dreamcast. Yeah. Oh, we miss you.
I loved my Dreamcast. I regret
it. Yeah, I kind of regret getting rid of that one, too. I could actually play those games. Now things are so much more complicated. Maybe that's another reason why I'm so bad at PvP.
I'll tell you this, though, Corey, with Battlefront 2, they do have a designated campaign storyline, and they also have an arcade where you don't play against other people. It is just strictly you by yourself, and you kill drones of soldiers, and that's all it is. There's no other people. It's just you by yourself doing exactly
what
you're talking about.
I think what I like about Destiny is that I can play co-op. So that even though I'm really bad at some things, I can just hop on and send a message to one of my friends and say, please, for the love of all that is holy, come help me kill this thing so I don't keep dying, you know? Which I have done on more than one occasion. Misha is clearly distracted.
In my defense, I'm trying to get measurements for Point's wedding, which I'm just sadly behind on because I've been so focused on work stuff. So I'm trying to figure out how to convert inches to centimeters. And
yeah, fair enough.
Turn your measuring tape around.
I did. Just annoying.
Did he give you measurements?
No, I have to give him everything in centimeters.
To inches,
I'm so
or
used
what?
To taking it in inches, and I'm like, wait, how big is that really? And there's like all these measurements, like neck to center back, and all this stuff. And Brian's cooking dinner, and I can't, like, you can't measure your back yourself, or at least I can't. So it was pretty funny watching me try, though.
Yeah. But no.
The worst part is looking at the measuring tape and going, holy cow, my hips are like 105. Yeah, what the hell's going on?
There was that going on too. But, you know, here's the cool thing, right? So this would not, like, I would not be going to Australia if it were not for me meeting someone in the Mercs. So pretty awesome that that like the Mercs brings people together like that.
No, it's awful.
I wish I was going to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
You guys can still go.
Me too.
I don't have a passport. Oh. Or
same.
Or the money.
Just
for
wouldn't be able to get back.
Same.
I don't have the money.
We'll smuggle you.
We're all sad here.
And my invitation got lost in the mail.
Yes, please do.
What happened?
Yeah, I got my invitation
yeah,
before Corey's even
showed.
Mike didn't
was
show
very
up.
Disappointed that I didn't get mine because he was like, but it was so pretty and I wanted you to see it.
It was.
They're
really,
really
nice
pretty.
Invitations that they sent
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they were handmade, really nice.
Mine got lost.
That is very sad. Moment of silence for Corey.
For the lost invitation.
I was really confused when I got mine because I'm sitting here thinking, how am I ever going to get to Australia? I mean, I'm flattered, but I'm really confused.
I think it means a lot that they invited folks, you know? Are they really?
They're going to live stream it, though, so we can watch at least, Daryl.
Yep.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, great.
That's yep. Awesome.
I need to not cry then, like a lot.
Either that or wear some waterproof makeup.
Fine. Yeah, I need to get waterproof makeup. I'm gonna cry so much. I'm just like so good. It's such a good thing. I'm so happy. Also,
I find it.
It's Australia, so I'm sure we're probably gonna have to like battle kangaroos as the wedding is happening.
I find it hard to believe you don't own waterproof makeup.
I know that. I thought that.
I thought you were gonna say own it for some reason.
I think I do, but you know, you don't wear like belly dance makeup for a wedding, so I have to get like normal person makeup, so I don't yeah, like yeah, I have waterproof
yeah.
Makeup, but it's all mermaid colors.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think the hair is already gonna be you know.
I have that Princess Bride eyeshadow and I still haven't worn it, but it's so awesome I had to have it.
That stuff is really good and I wear it fairly regularly because it's got that nice purple theme. Boys, what are your favorite colors of eyeshadow?
Alright.
I think I've worn eyeshadow once. No, twice. But it wasn't mine. Someone else just put it on me. So I don't know what the color was. Dusky?
I
don't know.
Swarthy. My favorite color is swarthy. Brian, what's your favorite color of eyeshadow? See, there
this
you go. We
finally Hobbit Talk Radio.
And it wasn't phallic.
I don't know.
Sorry, Ron.
We're gonna have to edit
that
part.
I use the word. You know what, Sean? Kids have to learn someday. They have to learn. No, you don't know that. Who better,
not today.
Who better to learn about the beautiful union between a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or whatever gender binary I have not said yet, and another gender binary that I have not said yet, than your friendly like podcast hosts. Listeners, wanna human love very, very much. That's all I got. Like, I can't.
Special.
Yeah. Special thing. Bird.
Oh. Anyways.
Next bit of Star Wars news. Something I actually only just found out about. Mark Hamill. I didn't know that he didn't, but he's getting a Walk of Fame star right in front of the El Capitan Theater.
Yay!
No, the ceremony's in front of the El Capitan.
Well, I mean, they do the star there, and then they do the print and all that stuff, and then they just move it once it's all set. Historically, they used to just do it wherever the spot was, but then they'd have to have a Hollywood Square roped off for a day and a half in downtown Hollywood and hope no one messed with it. So they changed the process a little bit.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But I honestly thought he already had one. There is a joke going around that Harrison Ford has had a star on the Walk of Fame forever, but technically it's not his. It has his name on it, but it's for a different actor named Harrison Ford. But yeah, there was a silent film.
Really?
Yeah, there was a silent film actor.
I didn't know that.
Named Harrison Ford way, way back in the day. And, he got a star on the Walk of Fame, and Harrison Ford's kind of been joking that it's his for the longest time.
I would imagine the other guy's not around to claim otherwise.
It's like, all he needs to do is say, yeah, it's my name. Get it.
Apparently they have to pay for the stars. Right, yeah. Like, the city of Hollywood selects the celebrities and gives them a form and says, hey, you know, we want you to have it, and we want you to have a star, and if you want it, then here's this form to fill out, and you pay us $30,000, and we'll put in a star for you. Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, it's still you still have to be chosen, but the Hollywood charges you for the honor.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Ferrari does that too with certain
As
cars.
A government, I can tell you that one, those things probably cost quite a bit of money because, man, when you put in benches, they're like just a bench is like $1,000. So, So you gotta throw a party and do all that. So like 30,000 seems pretty reasonable, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people have to pay for the honor. Yeah.
But so that's cool. Congrats, Mark.
And then more movie stuff.
Episode 9 is apparently due to start filming at the end of this July. J.J. Abrams is one of the primary script writers, and apparently it is done. They are planning on doing the sensible thing and going into filming with a finished script, unlike Return of the Jedi.
I have a feeling it will still be not as good as Return of the Jedi if the last film was any indication.
Don't be like that.
You weren't on when we talked about how great last
episode
Jedi was.
For a reason. I was sick, but I was sick. But I think I was probably sick because I was dreading having to have you all tell me how wrong I was. So, you know.
Well, I mean, you're wrong.
There you go.
Do that.
Of course.
Yeah, I'll throw my do that.
But in any case, JJ is he's not directing this one, is he? Or has he? I can't keep track of who's directing what Star Wars movie anymore.
I think Misha's directing this last one.
I'd give Misha
a
shot.
Let's get something straight. If Misha was directing this movie, there would be a lot of Donnie Yen.
So much.
Okay.
And a lot of Poe.
Not seeing a problem.
Okay, also good.
And
yeah.
Yep.
And glitter. No, there'd be a lot of Mandalorians.
No, you wouldn't retcon.
Okay, fine.
And I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. What actors would we have playing Mandalorians?
See, I thought you'd replace the Force being made up of midichlorians with just the Force being made up of glitter. You know.
JJ Abrams is directing.
He is directing. Okay.
IMDb says so. It must be true.
Yeah, I believe IMDb.
I'm just over here in my bubble imagining who my dream cast of Mandalorians would be for this movie.
I would basically just take the entirety of the New Zealand All Blacks. They're national rugby team. I think that'd be fine.
Yeah, because it's always a good idea to just bring in people who have no acting, chops at all and put them in a major science fiction movie. I mean, it's not like we've ever done that before. What?
To play soldiers? Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're going to do that, then just grab people who are already official mercs because they can bring their costume and save them for
nothing. There it is. Yup.
Hey, I live with the archivist. I am all over things that save money.
We're not only are we Mandalorians, but our culture is a very thrifty one.
Indeed.
Yes. We're really into recycling. Reusing.
So not only do we have the next Star Wars film being done by J.J. Abrams, but we know Rian Johnson, he's got a trilogy at some point coming up in the future. But yep. Did any of you guys catch the news that the showrunners for Game of Thrones on HBO got picked up to do a Hans?
I forgot that didn't get into this. Yeah, two guys who are largely in charge of the show, Game of Thrones. You may have heard of it. Have been basically greenlit to run another Star Wars trilogy in addition to Rian Johnson's. Whatever.
Yep.
I believe it's Ryan.
Ryan, Rain. I like your movies. Like, I do. I really do. but yeah, so we're originally I remember we were all jazzed back when Disney announced there were going to be new movies. We're like, oh, sweet, there's going to be three new movies. Oh, sweet, there's going to be six new movies. And then Rian Johnson gets his. Oh, man, 9 movies. 12. It's just it is officially never going
to
stop.
You guys realize that we're all going to die and they're still going to be making Star Wars movies and we're not going to get to see those movies. That's going to be the disappointing part.
Yeah, with the exception of the fact that I'll miss a couple of them, I could die happy with that knowledge.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of naysayers out there that think that it's just been turned into a corporate cash cow and it's being run into the ground and yada, yada, yada. Look, I get people have their opinions and they have their feelings and everything. But as a fan, the idea that we have an endless supply of Star Wars makes me giddy because it's something that I never thought that we would get in this context, quantity, before it was very niche. You're lucky if you got a book every couple of years. You're lucky when they came out with a new video game every couple of years. But now we get cartoons on a regular basis. We've got films coming out on a yearly basis. And I don't know any other franchise that has gotten so popular to develop its own annual
Star Trek
convention. You know, it's not let me finish. Star Trek, yeah, you've got Trek conventions, but I have never heard I'm sure there might be one out there, but has there ever been a Trek convention on the same scale and intensity that the Star Wars
yes,
celebrations
the
have.
Star Trek Las Vegas thing is huge. That one's pretty big. Let's see. But that being said, yeah, the only other franchise to remotely come close to Star Trek, which started back in the early 60s, well, no, not early, you know, in the 60s, has been Star Wars. Like, nothing else has come close. Even Game of Thrones, which has, you know, an entire book series and merchandise and, you know, a billionaire author at this point, with his HBO series, like, that's not even coming close. Like,
but and that's the point, you know, when we were back in our day, you know, we were hoping we'd get lucky for something new with Star Wars, and now it's imagine if you were a kid when you saw Star Wars, imagine being a kid today when you get it all the time, you know, instead of where we were just lucky to get it. Yeah. I think it's an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan because there's just so much of it, and you can pick and choose from what you like, what you don't like, and it's just going to keep going because now it's getting brought into the subculture of the fan base, and it's making more generational leaps. So it's just never going to go away.
And yeah, no, you hit it right there. It is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. It just is. Like, man. So we don't know anything about the three new movies that these two gentlemen from Game of Thrones will be making. We have heard that they are likely, in sort of a Game of Thronesy fashion, to be rated R. Yep, no real word about how R. We don't know if it'll be like HBO Game of Thrones grade of R, like Red Wedding type crap, or if we're talking like, you know, maybe a little bit more blood in the battle scenes than, you know, a little bit more of that soft R. Or if it's just going to go full on Deadpool, we have no idea. I don't see them going that far. No.
Me neither.
No.
That sounds to me like an internet rumor that's just, as soon as they heard Game of Thrones, they were like, "Oh, I bet she's going to be rated R."
Probably.
And the internet
took I mean, I I wouldn't mind them being like that soft R, I guess. Because, like, the movies have been PG-13 for a good while. They have wars in the name. So it wouldn't be the end of the world. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to go crazy. I don't think we're going to have, like, Caligula in space, you know? Like, like I don't think so. For those of you who don't get that reference, don't bother. It's fine.
Did you seriously just say Caligula in space?
I did.
So that we have to edit out. I mean,
he did.
That we're going to leave in, but we're editing out the word phallic.
What could possibly go wrong?
So no, Brian would like to all to talk about, since we're mentioning Caligula, go ahead and talk about the minnows then, because, you know, apparently that's okay.
A what now?
You don't know about that?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
The minnows.
I don't know what that is, and I think that's okay.
Google it.
No.
Anytime you remember a story, it turns out to be an adventure.
No.
Well, we do have one more topic for this evening.
It's
the main reason we brought Corey on.
So we did save this to last because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. It's back to Merc's news. It's not necessarily Star Wars news specifically, but Merc's Con. We've been talking about it for a while because it is a huge deal and we're all excited about it. And as we mentioned towards the beginning of this show, Corey here is a substantial part of the effort behind this, certainly not alone. A lot of people have been putting a lot of hard work towards putting Merc's Con together, but Corey, give us a
Okay. Yeah. I actually do have a tentative schedule sitting in front of me. For those who have been waiting for a schedule, I am going to release some of this stuff, but just be aware that nothing has, you know, hard and set times, and, you know, we might have to rearrange some stuff, but this is the basics. We have, because we have gone through the effort to make sure that all of the council members will be there, we've decided to schedule time every day to make sure that if you have a question for us, you can stand in front of us and ask it, and, you know, stand there and wait until you are satisfied with what you have heard and gotten all the information you want. I mean, that's one of the main reasons we wanted to do this, was so that we as the council could get face-to-face time with everybody else, and anyone could ask whatever they wanted. So I made sure to put that in there. It's like an hour a day. I think an hour a day. I've got that in there. let's see. We've got, I don't want to call it boring stuff because it's not actually boring, but, you know, like administrative type stuff. Like if you want to learn more about being on one of the admin teams, we'll talk about that. If you want to know more about the app process or what it takes to be a Rooslore, then we've got that. We've got stuff for Verilores, RCs, Alarads. We've got some, excuse me. We've got some stuff for ladies costuming. So if you want to, if you want to know more about what we do, you know, for it to help the ladies out, we've got some great women on the panel there who are going to talk about whatever you want to know about how we meet the challenges. For the more fun stuff, we've got a volunteer who's going to teach a class on airbrushing. We're going to have sort of we're calling it an iron costume tentatively. But we're going to give you a big box of Greeblies and a blank set of armor and make something, like just the way Iron Chef does it. And then we'll also be throwing in a mystery item that will have to be incorporated into it halfway through. It's got a 2-hour block, and we've got some people in mind for judges, so it'll be pretty cool.
Oh, I like that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. excuse me. Tom is planning on giving a metal armor tutorial as well, so anybody who wants to know how to make their own metal armor, he said he'd be happy to share some of his knowledge. We're looking at a trivia game contest type thing. I haven't yet decided if it's actually going to have prizes, but we're working on Star Wars and Mercs trivia, like a whole big thing. What else do I got here? Friday night is... we've got the pool deck to ourselves, open bar, food, pool. They're going to pull out, they've got a giant chess set they offered to pull out
yes.
for us, and the ping pong table
yes.
stuff. Yeah, like anything. They've got a whole bunch of games that they offered us. So that's going to be outside. But then once we hit the sound curfew for Daytona, table gaming will be ongoing inside as well for whatever you want to play. We're going to set up tables and go play.
pretty much.
We did X-Wing. Specifically set aside time for X-Wing on Saturday night after dinner. Go in there and you guys can play X-Wing all night long. I don't care. But we set that aside. And if you don't actually want to play games, we also set up a swag swap. So if you've got patches and pins or whatever that you want to swap with other people, it'll be a great time because there's a whole bunch of mercs that are going to be there. And you'll be able to swap your stuff.
Now the time to start on those clan merchandise runs if you want to get done.
We've got an ongoing. I've got an ongoing mini golf tournament here. So if you get bored and you want to go down, the mini golf course is close to the hotel. You walk down there. I'm gonna try and see if we can't get a discount. I haven't talked to them yet. But, just go down there and play mini golf. You turn in your card, and whoever has the best score wins. And we've got this great section of the beach, and it's November in Florida, so it'll be pretty nice weather. We're going to bring some props down for photos. We've got some photographers we've been talking with. We're looking at maybe a sandcastle contest. Tai Chi with Brian
nice.
Nell. And maybe some photo posing classes he might be offering as well. So there's all of that. which, you know, really fills a whole lot of time, to tell you the truth. I've had a really hard time trying to make sure that we can do as much stuff as possible. I've still got some other things that we're working on, so they're not things that we're announcing just yet because they're not solid. But we're still planning to add to this, not necessarily to the schedule itself, but by adding more stuff or more people, more, you know, like maybe have some guests possibly. We're not sure, but we're working.
And we announced this a while ago, but we'll be there. The podcast will be there doing our thing for at least a little bit. I have no idea how long you'll have us do our thing, Corey.
Yay!
An hour, perfect. Scheduled for you. I mean, I know that obviously things go a little longer than an hour usually, but I think you're also, yep, you're scheduled for the end
y'all
of the day, so
you
if you run over,
it's no podcast problem. Live.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. No, we can totally fill an hour. Oh, yeah. No, that'll be a good time. I mean, MergsCon, period, is going to be a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point where Ken and I go to that beach in the summertime on a regular basis because it's such a nice place to visit. And so I usually take pictures and then I send them to Tom and be like, hey, look, I'm at the hotel again. Or a bunch of the pictures that have shown up on the MerxCon Facebook page were pictures that I took because I drove out to Daytona to go to the beach and was like, well, since I'm here, I'll just take pictures of the resort. So it's been... It's a really nice place to visit, and I love that beach there at Daytona. It's really nice, and I think that the con is just going to be so much fun, this conference thing that we're doing here. And I don't know, I'm looking forward to meeting people and seeing old friends, and just, it's going to be more relaxed in Celebration. I always run around like a chicken with my head cut off at Celebration, trying to, like, coordinate, like, fundraising and the bash and all that other stuff, and I don't think I'm gonna have that kind of crap to have to deal with this time around. I'll actually be able to get to relax a little bit, I think, and have fun and
Corey,
spend time with people.
What I've been trying to say is thank you. I don't know if people have been thanking you, but they really should be, because you and the PR team and Rich, especially you guys and Ken, have been working so hard on this. You've just really been putting so much effort into this, and that's on top of everything else you do, you know? So it's really incredible that you've offered to do this and you've been willing to do this and you're making this happen for the membership. So it is appreciated.
Well, I appreciate that, and so does the dog. And you know what's been crazy is that, you know, I'm still working on MerxCon. I have got a whole long list of, like, of companies that I've been sending messages out to see about sponsorships, getting us prizes for some of these contests, maybe sponsoring some of our swag to be, like, you know, get some really cool stuff for everyone, which will only be available for people who come to MerxCon. I'm not saving it for anybody else. So I've got all this stuff that I've been doing, and Ken has been looking over my shoulder and making sure I don't spend more money than we can afford. And then Rich is out there, you know, pushing it all over the place. And at the same time, we're all starting to work on Celebration, because even though we don't know where or when, it's going to come and we have to get it done. So we're working double duty this year by doing two cons at once. So it's been a little crazy. But I'm looking forward to MerxCon, and I'm really hoping it comes out as a successful event, because this is the first time I've ever had to organize one, you know, myself. Like, I usually just show up, you know? But this time, I had to go pick the venue and do the planning, and I've got to do all the stuff that I normally do for the bash, but then there's a whole bunch of other stuff on top of it. We're working on some custom badges, so everybody will have a badge, you know, to show that they were there. I'm trying to do so much. I want to have, like, MerxCon exclusives. I want to make merch that you can buy ahead of time and pick up when you get there, and you can only get it that way. I really want to make it so that people, you know, get a sense of ownership and accomplishment for having gone through the effort and come to MerxCon and had fun and met all these people, and they get all this Yeah, it's not just about the swag or whatever. It's not about the stuff. It's about coming down and, yeah, you're going to get a bunch of stuff because I want to make it cool for you, but you get so much information and knowledge, and it has to have the opportunity to ask people questions. Because a lot of those panels I mentioned earlier, like, you know, the ones I called boring, they're not for us to talk at you. They are for... We're just there to kind of answer questions or guide the discussion, but we want it to be more like, if you want to sit down as, you know, if every Allerad in the country or the world was coming to MercsCon, they could all sit down and talk about what it's like to be an Allerad and what they think is best about being an Allerad, or somebody who has a problem can say, hey, I've got this guy in my clan and I could really use some advice, and get some advice in person on the spot from the other Allerads. And the same thing goes for all the other offices. We really want it to be, you know, we really want the members to have a chance to talk and share best practices and, you know, find out from each other what works best and, you know, what they find awesome about their part, you know? I want this to be something that people enjoy and get as I want everybody to get as much as possible out of it.
Well, I'm gonna like it. Yeah. I need
as soon as you buy a ticket.
Fortunately, by the time this goes out, Wampa Clan's actually having a photo shoot with everybody, all of our official members, for the first time ever this weekend. So we'll all actually be in one spot, so we can actually talk about who's like actually paying for the room. We just gotta actually like iron it out. But actually, that brings me up to a good question. Unlike most conventions where you just go and you buy your badge and you buy your hotel room or you stay at a buddy's house or what have you, this sort of comes as a package. Like, you buy your hotel room and that comes with tickets, correct?
Yes, the rate that you pay that appears on the forums in the store there, that is your hotel room. That's your ticket to the conference, all day, every day of the conference, and it includes all of your food except lunch. So I mean, it's breakfast every day. So it, like, if you do a 4-day four-night reservation, you're going to get breakfast every day that you're there. And we negotiated a lower price on the breakfast, so we're saving everybody like $20 on breakfast every day just for eating in the hotel. I think we also, it also included Florida's outrageous resort tax, resort fees, and the parking fees as well, because, you know, they got to get you everywhere they can. But we wanted to make it as inclusive as possible, because we don't want people to have to worry about, like, well, what am I going to, you know, how am I going to find my, how am I going to find my way around Daytona? Or, you know, how am I going to figure out where to get, you know, all I know is the ocean, you know, that kind of thing. Everything is right there. We've taken care of almost all of your planning. So all you get to, I mean, you come down, you check in and relax for the weekend and just hang out and have fun. And that was one of the big things we wanted, was for everyone to have the opportunity to have fun with each other.
Awesome. Yeah, I knew that it was like super inclusive. I didn't quite realize that it came with food for the majority of the weekend. That's awesome.
Breakfast every day and two dinners.
That is honestly really good for the amount that you'd be paying, because that, you know, it's your room, that's your badge, that's all. Yeah, no, that's good.
And they gave us a tour of the rooms too, and they are so nice. You can't get a bad view. I mean, as of right now, we still have oceanfront rooms available, so obviously you're going to get a great view there. Most of the rooms on the oceanfront side have balconies, and then the beds are nice. They got decent sized bathrooms. They just renovated the whole place because of a hurricane, so there's hurricane glass on there too. I mean, so it's super strong. And they have sensors in the room. So if you have a balcony and you open your balcony door, it regulates the temperature in your room, even with the door open. Yeah. And then Yeah, and then every room has a DVD player. Oh, cool. Or Blu-ray. It might be a Blu-ray player, but definitely DVD player. And then they have a whole library of DVDs behind the front desk. So you just go down there and you pick out a DVD and bring it back up to your room, and it's all included.
That's awesome. That is really cool. Yeah, one of these days soon, I will actually buy my ticket. oh yeah. No, me, I'm just lazy, yeah. And the members of my clan that are also going, like myself, Bill, Muriel, my wife, we're all going. But yeah, it's just, I think we're in Steven's room, but I don't remember. Like, I've seen this, and this is why we gotta talk.
So the thing we'll encourage everybody else too is the sooner you book, the sooner Corey knows how much money we're bringing in for this thing, which means that Corey can work a little more freely with what sort of potential guests we can bring in, or other amenities, or other fun things to do. So if you can get your stuff, I know, you know, with the way funds go and whatnot, especially for other people outside, like myself and whatnot, outside of states, with the exchange rate, if you can grab it while the exchange rate's good, that'd be good timing. As well as if tax return comes up, if you got that money sitting there and you're going, oh, I don't know what to do with it.
There is an international airport in Daytona, so fly right into Daytona, and I'm pretty sure they have a shuttle that runs to the hotel. I'd have to check on it, but I'm pretty sure they can come pick you up. So there's no excuses.
Yeah, what was the name of the hotel that this will be hosted at?
The Shores Resort and Spa. And they do have a full service spa there, so if you want to make a reservation and do that, you know, feel free, relax. There's also, you know, there's a pool in the lobby, there's a restaurant down there, there is a
there's a pool in the lobby.
In the lobby and a restaurant. The pool is outside and there's a bar right next to it. And a hot tub.
I don't know, the quartermaster. The quartermaster.
Well, there is
promised
a fountain in the lobby. I think they might frown on something.
How much more do we have to pay to get the pool in the lobby?
Because it does get a little cool at night.
Well, I remember the year that I got married, 2010, all those years ago. My wife and I, we went down. It was first weekend in December, and that was like a, at that time, like a record cold year for the Orlando area, which meant it was like 40, which in Florida that's a big deal. like everybody was worried that the orange groves were all going to die. They had propane cannons going to keep the frost off the trees. Meanwhile, my wife and I, you know, we just flew in on a plane that had to be de-iced twice before it could take off from Maine. We're just walking around in shorts and, you know, maybe a long sleeve t-shirt. We're like, oh, this is great, Bob. This is awesome. even though it's November, I'm not bringing a jacket. Let's just put it that way.
I'll have a jacket.
A what? I knew it was a great day out today because before I even got outside, I saw my neighbor out in the backyard or out in like through the backyard in his backyard. He was out in shorts and a t-shirt, no shoes on, just walking through the snow. Yeah.
So,
no, it was like,
what is that? What is that in American temperature?
Remember, Canadian. Yeah, 20 something in American temperature.
I'm still honestly impressed. Like, you lived in Kentucky for quite some time, which is on the East Coast, ish, and you hadn't been in the Atlantic Ocean until this.
Yeah.
Huh. Sure.
No, that was the first time I'd ever seen the Atlantic. I flew over it a couple of times, you know, but that was always in the dark and, you know, shuffling through the airport, and you never got to go see the ocean. But yeah, no, Monday was the first time I'd ever seen the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it looks like the average temperatures for the ocean water in November at Daytona Beach are in the high 60s.
That is beautiful.
Which I happen to know the state of New Jersey doesn't even see that in the summertime. So yeah. So it should be really nice. And in Daytona, you pay $10 and they'll let you drive on the beach. It's actually a cool experience to go out there and drive down the beach and, you know, have the ocean right there next to you.
That's pretty awesome.
That does sound pretty cool.
I want to take Tom's Land Speeder awesome. Out there and spin donuts.
I bet we can convince him to do it.
Well, he does want to park it on the beach, but I don't know about doing anything crazy. But we did drive around Atlanta when that thing at a DragonCon last year with Sean on the back as we drove around lost. Stupid one-way road.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we drive the wrong way on a one-way, or was that the one that Ken and I did last? On the swoop bike.
I don't. No, I think we. Oh, yeah, we went up a back lane that was a one way technically. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. The adventures you have.
That was
with
fun.
Star
just
Wars.
Cruise around.
Props.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were supposed to get directed to go one way, and they were like, "Nah, you have to go that way," which took us away from what we needed to get back to. And then once we got the. Once we got the land speeder back to the trailer and everything, Ken and I had to get back to the hotel, and we decided, you know what, we don't need to walk. We'll just take the speeder bike.
I'm really surprised.
It'll be fine.
In the elevator.
Ken and I are in. Well, eventually it fit in the elevator. Yeah, Ken and I don't know if he had I think he left his helmet behind, but I had my helmet on. I'm riding on the back.
Oh, did
you cuddle? The speeder bike that Ken had built, and we're zipping along the sidewalk. Yeah. And we zipped along the sidewalk, and people gave us some interesting looks. Mostly were very amused to see us riding along. and then we got to the hotel, so Ken killed the engine, but we just kind of cruised right on in. And I can overhear one guy going, "Nah, I'm sure they know where they're going. It's gotta be fine."
That totally looks like it's part of their costume.
So just because we looked like we knew. Yeah, just because we looked like we knew where we were going and we weren't like, I don't know if we can do this. We just went right on in, and the person at the front just assumed, yeah, they're fine. No big deal.
Yeah.
So then we contemplated the escalator.
Yeah,
but
that probably
would have
ended
steep.
Up a little weird.
So we decided we'd take the freight elevator. And, yeah. It's a good thing the freight elevator was the size it was, because full diagonal just barely fit. But we got it down and dropped it off at the booth, and it was a great display piece for the merch booth at DragonCon for the Saturday afternoon and Sunday.
No, this is the first I've heard it. And
that was I don't know if we told that tale on the podcast before, but yeah, that was.
This is why we keep telling people we need to go to these big cons. You know, you go to Dragon Con and you see all sorts of things. Like guys with a speeder bike in an elevator. Or the football fan who was throwing chairs over the 10th floor balcony.
You know, people. Yeah. That's the advice that I've heard up and down about Dragon Con.
I think once that girl got back from the hospital, she was more than happy to show off her stitches and get all the attention that she got for having that chair land on her head.
Seems that...
Dragon Con's an interesting thing. Now, by and large, well, I mean, you consider the number of people and in attendance versus the number of people that, you know, get injured from stupid stuff happening. you're still gonna be just fine. Like it's not like there's a 50% chair to head ratio for
attendees of Dragon Con.
But that particular balcony did
not to make light of what
when they threw the chairs, they landed on another balcony on like the second floor or the first, like the main floor or whatever, and it was only where the smokers gather. So if you don't smoke, then you're safe from chairs.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't. I mean, you shouldn't smoke.
Don't
smoke
where there's a moral for your health. Chair. I don't know.
I mean, like chairs just land on you. I mean, I think so.
And with that said,
so
I think that's all we got for this month.
So that is all that we have for this month's edition of Keldabi Talk Radio. Don't smoke. Stay in school. You're falling chairs. I mean, this is if
Beware
you listen to
Keldabi
Talk Radio for anything, we hope that it is for these vital, vital life lessons. Yes, like we have a quota. We have a quota of zero, and
MerxCon
we're in a
will
really
have
good
zero
place to meet
falling
that quota.
Chairs, by the way, yeah, guaranteed.
Yes, no throwing of the balcony chairs.
But on behalf of myself, Misha Kitty, Thaxos, Dar, our very special guest Corey, thank you for coming on. Thanks. We love every time that you come on the show with us.
I love being here.
So on behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening and download us next month.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.